All right. So today we're diving into something pretty crucial. It's all about equitable digital access for those with disabilities.
Right. Yeah.
We've got some material here making a pretty strong case saying it's, well, a fundamental right, not just some add-on. So we're going to break down why that matters and like what's stopping this from being a reality for everyone.
Absolutely.
And for anyone listening in, this is about getting a handle on, I guess, how our world actually works these days, you know, digitally, you're building tech yourself or you're thinking about, I don't know, the social side of things or just plain curious. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into it.
Yeah. I mean, this idea that digital access is like a perium. Right. That's huge, right?
Yeah.
It means it's not some kind of bonus feature. It's essential for anyone to really participate in society.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it.
Right.
So much of life is online now, right?
Yeah.
You've got learning, work, even just like keeping up with friends and family. Yeah. To not be able to get online, it's like being left out of, well, all the basics.
It's true. Yeah. So if it's so fundamental, what are we even talking about then? What are these, what are the roadblocks here? What's actually stopping people from having that equal access?
Well, one thing our source points to is, you know, a lot of digital spaces like websites or apps, they're just not built with everyone in mind.
Okay.
And that creates barriers for people who might rely on things like screen readers.
Right.
Or folks who need, you know, different ways to interact with the tech altogether.
I see.
It's like, imagine a website where, like, every image is just a blank spot because there's no text description for the screen reader to pick up.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
That's a barrier.
Yeah, that paints a very clear picture. Now, the source talks about how when we get digital access right, when it's fair, it actually gives people more power.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work, like practically speaking?
So when the online world is built to be accessible,
mm-hmm.
it fosters this sense of independence. So let's say in education, right?
Yeah.
Accessible platforms mean everyone can learn together.
Yeah.
Or when you're looking for jobs,
mm-hmm.
more opportunities open up because more people can actually, you know, use the job sites.
Right, right.
Even managing your own health. You know, that becomes a lot easier with online portals. They're designed for everyone to use.
I see.
It's really all about giving folks an equal chance to participate.
Okay. Okay. So that's the good side, right? What about the flip side? What happens when this doesn't happen? When digital access is not equitable?
It's not good.
What's the real impact? What are the consequences?
I mean, the simplest way to put it is it makes the inequalities that already exist even worse.
Yeah.
It makes life harder for people who are already facing challenges, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it limits their ability to, well, just thrive in a world that's becoming more digital every single day.
Right. They just get left further behind.
Exactly. They miss out on opportunities. And I think it can lead to even more isolation.
Okay. Yeah. Now, I saw this term POUR in the material, and I have to admit, I was a little stumped.
Yeah.
It's about digital accessibility, right?
Yeah. Yeah, POUR, it's a good way to remember the key principles.
Okay.
So you've got perceivable,
okay.
operable, understandable, and robust.
Gotcha. Okay.
Perceivable basically means, you know, you can actually take in the information. It's not hidden or anything.
Right.
Operable means you can use the interface, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Understandable, I mean, that one's pretty straightforward. It means it makes sense.
Yeah.
Right. And then robust, that means it works, like, reliably.
Okay.
Across different technologies, including assistive ones.
Gotcha.
So think like captions on videos.
Mm-hmm.
That's perceivable, right?
Yeah.
You can see what's being said.
Yeah.
Or being able to navigate a website using just the keyboard, not just the mouse.
Right.
That's Ooh. Operable.
Bird sense.
Clear and simple language that's, you know, understandable.
Yeah.
And then websites that work with like all the different kinds of screen readers out there, that's robust.
Gotcha. Okay. And then there was this idea of universal design, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's a big one.
How does that fit in with all of this?
Universal design, it's about building digital things so that they're like as accessible as possible right from the start.
Oh, okay.
So you don't have to go back and like make all these separate changes later.
I see.
It's more like proactive, you know?
Yeah.
Build it right the first time and you create a better experience for, well, everyone.
Gotcha. So then the big question, I guess, is who's in charge of making all this happen? Is it on like one group of people or?
Well, what our source points to is that it's really a shared responsibility.
Yeah.
You've got governments, companies, even educational institutions.
Yeah.
They all have a role to play here.
Okay.
And there's this set of guidelines, actually, the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines, WSCAG.
Right.
And that's kind of the benchmark, you know?
Yeah, something to aim for. Exactly. Okay, so one thing that the material really, like, stresses is the importance of having people with disabilities involved in the design process itself.
Oh, absolutely.
Why? Why is their input so valuable? What does that bring to the table?
Well, they're the ones who have the lived experience, right? Mm-hmm. They know firsthand what works, what doesn't work.
Yeah.
By including them in the process, you're not just guessing, you know.
Right.
You're creating solutions that actually meet real needs.
It makes it more real.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not just theoretical.
Right.
Okay. Okay. So the last thing here, the source calls equitable digital access a, quote, moral imperative.
Right.
Why use that kind of language? What does that actually mean?
Well, I think calling it a moral imperative, it really underscores that whole argument about fundamental rights, you know.
Yeah.
It's like saying that as a society, we have this duty to make sure everyone can participate.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes, you know, the online world. It reflects our values, right? Fairness, equality, all of that.
Yeah, it becomes more than just like a tech issue, right?
Absolutely.
It's about how we build our world.
Yeah.
Our whole world.
Yeah, it's about creating a digital world where everyone belongs and where everyone can contribute.
I like that. So I guess to wrap this all up, you know, ensuring everyone can access the digital world, it's not just about, you know, having the technical skills to do it.
Right, yeah.
It's about those fundamental rights we were talking about. Right. And it's about like our shared responsibility to actually build a society where everyone is included.
That's it. That's the key takeaway.
Yeah. So here's something for folks to think about, you know, next time they're online scrolling through whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, take a second to think about how someone using totally different tech might be experiencing that same space.
Right.
What little things, you know, in the design and the whole approach,
right.
What could open up that world to so many more people? It's something to consider.
Right. Absolutely. It's about it thinking outside of our own experience.
Yeah. Well, thanks for taking this deep dive with us. It's been great.
Thanks for having me.
Really insightful.
Appreciate it.
And to everyone listening, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in.
We'll catch you next time.